came to the Samaritan town called Sychar, near the land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well is there, and Jesus, tired by the journey, sat straight down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "Boy, you are a Jew, and you ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink. Jews, as you know, do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus replied, "If you only knew what God is offering, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have been the one to ask, and he would have given you living water. 'You have no bucket, sir,' she answered, 'and the well is deep. How could you get this living water? I suppose you are a greater man than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself with his sons and his cattle.'" Jesus replied, "Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give will never thirst again. The water that I shall give will turn into a spring inside him, welling up to eternal life." "Sir," said the woman, "give me some of that water, so that I may never get thirsty and never have to come here again to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go and call your husband and come back here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." He said to her, "You are right, sir, I have no husband, for though you have had five, the one you have now is not your husband. You spoke the truth then." "I see you are a prophet, sir," said the woman. "Our fathers worship on this mountain, while you say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour will come, in fact it is already here, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. That is the kind of worshipper the Father wants. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah, that is Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will tell us everything." "I who am speaking to you," said Jesus, "I am he." At this point, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him speaking to a woman, though none of them asked, "What do you want from her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" The woman put down her water jar and hurried back to the town to tell the people, "Come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. I wonder if he is the Christ." And this brought people out of the town, and they began to walk towards him. And meanwhile the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, do have something to eat." But he said, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples asked one another, "Has someone been bringing him food?" But Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me, and to complete his work. Have you not got a saying, 4 months and then the harvest? Well, I tell you, look around you, look at the fields. Already they are white, ready for harvest. Already the reaper is being paid his wages. Already he is bringing in the grain for eternal life. And thus sower and reaper rejoice together. For here the proverb holds good: one sows, another reaps. I send you to reap a harvest you have not worked for. Others worked for it, and you have come in to the rewards of their trouble." Many Samaritans of that town had believed in him on the strength of the woman's testimony when she said, "He told me all I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came up to him, they begged him to stay with them. He stayed for 2 days. And when he spoke to them, many more came to believe. And they said to the woman, "Now we no longer believe because of what you told us. We have heard him ourselves, and we know that he is truly the Savior of the world." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Desire. And if you don't gratify thirst, you die. very quickly. It's the quickest way to die is to stop drinking water. And so thirst is a door into our longing for life. In Lent, we suspend the gratification of these small desires so that we can descend into them. To be peckish is pleasant, makes you look forward to the next meal. To be hungry is worrying and begins to introduce anxiety to us. To be ravenously hungry, or to be even weak with hunger, opens us to deeper mysteries. And suddenly we can see our dependence in a great way, where formerly we were just thinking how many yards we were from the nearest bridge, or the nearest counter, or the nearest table. We begin to feel in our desire our needs for the great facts, for life, for health, for flourishing, for abundance, for happiness, for peace. And if you keep burrowing down through the meaning of these little desires, you eventually reach your knowledge of your need for God. But most of the time we don't. Most of the time we just shove Coca-Cola down or the nearest cream bun and put it off for another 2 hours. And here Jesus is by the well, this woman. If you knew what God is offering, if you knew who it was saying to you, give me a drink, you would have been more wise. Because Jesus is the answer to the thirst of humanity at its depths. He's the fountain of life. Of course, she is still on the surface. She's still at the wellhead. You've got no bucket, I see. Where are you going to get water from? Brassy, brassy response. And Jesus has a great gift of knowing people. The Gospel speaks of it several times. He didn't need to be told what was in people. He could read them. We've all met people who could do this. We've all met half a dozen people. And we sit and talk to them for a while. And then we notice that one of them is watching us. One of them is sensitive to us. One of them can see through when we put up a screen and will sometimes say a word to demolish it, through to the truth. And quite clearly Jesus had this in a superabundant degree. He saw into people and he knows this woman and he goes down into her thirst, into her need. She's beginning to suspect. You hear that cynical remark, perhaps you're a greater person than our father Jacob, who gave us this well. Greater than the patriarch, greater than Israel. I mean John. Yes. Yes, greater. There's something greater than Jacob here. Whoever drinks this water will get thirsty again. Immediately, he's taking her into the religious, the spiritual way of looking at her life. He's asking her to make a leap away from buckets and ropes and wells to the reality of her life. But the water that I'm offering will make you never thirst again. It will turn into a spring inside you, welling up to eternal life. It's so beautiful a picture that she's hooked. So give me that water, so that I may never thirst again. She's beginning to talk like a psalm herself. And Jesus then brings her right down to earth, her perfect husband. And she withdraws, she evades him. She tries to put up a screen. I haven't got a husband. And Jesus knows the kind of life she's living. You know what divorce is, what abandonment means. You know what sort of life she's led as well. She's been through 6 husbands. And sometimes the life that is lived on the surface of things, the superficial solving of problems and quenching of thirst, can end up like that. Desperate search without any contentment. And that's what Jesus has sensed in her. And that's what she has found a dream of an answer to in him. She tries to change the subject and talk about worship on this mountain or Jerusalem and the difference between them. Jesus rubs all that out. It doesn't matter on this mountain in Jerusalem. What matters is that you should worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's what they've both been talking about. He has been offering her a spirit with which she can enter the real world. A spirit that will give meaning to this endless search, this endless thirsting. And he is asking her to live that spiritual life in truth, in the world where she's had 6 husbands, and she's weary, and it's midday, and the sun's beating down. The woman then professes a dim Samaritan faith in the coming of the Messiah. I know that he will come, and he will explain everything to us. And Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, incarnate Word, says, I who am speaking to you, I am he. And very symbolically, she puts down a pitcher. She's forgotten the earthly errand, looking for water. And she runs back to her people to say, come and see, perhaps it is the Messiah. She becomes an evangelist. In this Lent, as we approach once again the waters of baptism, to be reborn at Easter, let us delve beneath the thirst and hunger of our everyday life and find the longing for spring of living water.